I don't know how many of you this morning has come. It's, Lord, I have come to you filled with guilt and shame, confused in all my thoughts. I need you so much more today. Lord, you know my way. You call me by my name with a call of mercy. Praise the Lord. I don't know the song. Even though I didn't know the song, it ministered to me this morning. I have nothing that's of worth. I feel the weight of sin crushing down on me. Come, Lord, fill me once again. Take me as I am. Give me eyes to see your hands of mercy. Your mercy finally found me. I need your arms around me, because nothing else would do. Nothing else would do. I know you will always answer. I know that you are faithful and listen when I pray. Your touch makes me whole again. But when I'm in pain and all hope fades away, you touch me with mercy. I will give you all I am. I'm giving you my heart. Forgive me now, I pray. Lord, you give me strength to stand. You took me by the hand as words just seems to fade in your arms of mercy. In your arms of mercy. I thank God for his mercy today. I thank God for his mercy. If it wasn't for God's mercy, none of us would be here today. And I praise God for his mercy. Don't know the song? See? Oh, look at that. It's written by Ed. I just looked down to see who it's written by. You know, it's a long time. Ed, when did you write this song? 2012. We haven't sung it for a while then. It ministered to me because one of the things that God has been placing in my life a lot is mercy. Mercy. It says in the Word of God, they who show mercy shall obtain mercy. And I talked to the kids about this Wednesday. And I believe that the Lord, I told them, I believe God gave me the gift of mercy. And this is not what I plan to preach on, but I believe God gave me the gift of mercy. And I told him, my grandmother used to had a name for me. She used to say, you are a dog. She said, people could kick you, and you just go back to them wagging your tail. And I believe that's the gift of mercy that God has placed in my heart. And sometimes we can see the gift of mercy and see it as too soft, too lenient, too weak. But I see it as the gift of mercy. And I believe I receive a lot of mercy in my life because I show a lot of mercy. And I would encourage you to be mercy givers. To be mercy givers. Be mercy givers. Praise the Lord. I don't know who here today needs some mercy, but let me tell you this. God has it for you. God has mercy for you. His mercy is endless. Never fails. And it's never going to be exhausted. It's never going to run out. sometimes because of the things we may do or how the things we may get ourselves into, we get to the place we don't see God's mercy, but God's mercy is always there for us. Amen. This morning, if I brought my paper, oh, there it is. We're going to go back to the book of Matthew for a short minute. And we're in chapter 24. We're in chapter 24. And I didn't really know how to preach this. And a lot of commentaries didn't give you much stuff. And chapter 24, verse 1 through 14. 1 through 14. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the building of the temple. But Jesus answered them, "You see all these, don't you? Do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be torn down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of the coming of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout all the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know Jesus is coming back again? Do you know that Jesus is coming back again? I remember a story I read. It said that Jesus was ascending and the disciples were looking up. And angels said to them, "This same Jesus that you see ascend into heaven will come in like manner." So from this text, I think this text is very important. There's a time to plant, and you don't want to miss the window. In fact, they have a thing called a calendar, I guess. It's a little book, almanac. That's what it is. I said almanac. There's a little book you buy at the agricultural store. And it gives you directions of when to plant what. Because they look for the sign of the time to plant the right thing to produce the right type of fruit if you want the best produce. Well, Jesus was with his disciples, and the first verse talk about they point out the temple. If you look in Luke and Mark, if If you look in that, they also says, look at the temple. And if I understand, now, the only way I could understand how the temple looked like is what I read. I wasn't there. It said it was pretty. It says that when the sun shined on it, it was magnificent. And Jesus told them that it wouldn't stand, and that already took place in AD 70. And then they came to him with a question that we all probably should be asking. The question is, they asked him, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age? So let's see. The first thing he said, don't be led astray. It is strange to me that they ask a question and the first instruction that Jesus gave them is, don't be led astray. In verse 4, and Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they would lead many astray. That is already happening. Do you all know that? Jim Jones was one of those. Do you all know that? Jim Jones took so many people, and they were led astray, and they took their lives. Well, I went looking to see who else. A couple years ago, there was a guy in Florida that said he was Jesus. And guess what? He had followers. And Jesus warned them right away. He said, don't be led astray. Right now, there is a guy that said he's Jesus, and he has an assistant. I don't know if it's his wife or somebody, and she's Mary Magdalene. Right now, their ministry is called the Divine Ministry, the Divine Truth. And when you go to his website, don't go there. When you go to his website, he has followers. And he teaches. And here's the thing. If we are not careful, we will be led astray. Now, here's what I don't do. I met some Mormons when I was taking Lance to Alabama. I met them and I talked to them and they gave me a book and we exchanged. And I have the book in my office. And I cracked it one time, but I would not read a lot. Why? I don't want it to mess with what's already inside of me. Some of us, what we do sometimes, we go messing with the wrong thing and we get led astray. If I understand the treasury and the government, when they're teaching people to see the counterfeit, they never give them a counterfeit. Do you know that? When I went to work at Save-A-Lot, and I was going to be one of the managers at Save-A-Lot, they train us how to recognize the real thing. They never trained us how to recognize the fake. They never once brought into the building a lot of fake $100 bills, $50 bills, $20 bills, and say, learn what it's like so you could feel. No, they tell us what the real thing looked like. They tell us what to look for in the real thing. And what Jesus is saying to them, look for the real thing. Don't look for the fake. And sometimes what we do as believers, we are led astray because we are running behind everything and we are not looking for the real thing. And that's why I didn't crack open that Mormon Bible and read it. Why? I don't want it messed with the real thing. I want to know the real thing. I want to identify what the real thing. So when I touch a fake, I know, ho-ho, right away, that's a fake. Do you know if you know the real thing? When a fake come along, you don't even have to examine it. Jesus says, many will come in my name. And the sad part, many will be led astray. Folks, I don't know about you, but even in the video series that we had, I learned quite a few things that I liked. It was kind of boring to me, yes. And I did fall asleep a few times, yes. But I learned a few things that I liked about it that helped me in my faith. Because it's sad when our young people go off to colleges and they're so not familiar with the real thing that they get led astray by a fake. Folks, I will encourage you, get to know the real thing. Get to know the Messiah. Get to know Jesus, the Son of God. Get into your Word of God. Read the book cover to cover. Know God. I served as a juror last week in a case, and they put us in this little room when we, every time they give us, they want to discuss something that they think will sway us one way or another, and they didn't want that. They would let us leave so just the lawyers and the judge and the witness could discuss it because it could sway us, because it's not pertinent, I guess, to the case. And while we're in this little room, somebody, there was a guy there that used to be a pastor. And one of the ladies across from us said to the guy, why is you're not a pastor? Because now he's teaching in Fort Valley. And he gave a big explanation. And the woman sitting next to him, it says, why do you always call God a he? And she's going off and he's trying to answer. And I'm trying to hold my tongue because I don't want to say anything. I don't want to upset anybody. But I couldn't help it. I just, after a while, my foot starts shaking. I'm holding my leg because I want to say nothing. I want to stay out of it because the worst thing you could discuss is religion and politics in a crowd like that. You're looking for trouble. Finally, I said, who here read the Bible back from the beginning to the end? Three people raised their hand. And then I tell the woman, before you go talking about who God is, read the book. Read it from the beginning to the end. I said, so many of us don't know God because we have not read the book and we've taken everything that everybody says. And then I shut up. And that's probably what they made me the floor person. Folks, we must know who God is, because if we don't, we would be led astray. Now, I shouldn't go there, but here, we talk about once saved, always saved. But I see many scriptures that touch on the fact that a person who believes in God can go astray because they place themselves in the wrong place. Because they didn't get to know their God, because they didn't spend time in the Word of God. Some Christians don't even know some of the simplest verses that should help them in everyday life. You should be such a Christian that when you see the fake, you say, that's not my God. Because if you know your God, you wouldn't have to question and you would not be led astray. Okay. First thing, don't be led astray. Second, don't be alarmed. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise up against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pain. Do not be alarmed. How many of you, when you hear mudslides, so many people dead, you're alarmed? You hear earthquake, so many people dead, you're alarmed. You hear tsunami, so many people dead, you're alarmed. Don't be alarmed. We are experiencing birth pains. Now, I never give birth. Well, yes, I did, to kidney stones. But I really never gave birth. So I don't understand the full measure of birth pains. I don't. Now, you ladies could identify better. The child ain't coming with the first pain you got. Don't be alarmed. You know what would happen if a woman get alarmed with her first pain? She get a panic attack. Just a little pain, she get a panic attack. Why? Because she don't understand that that's just the beginning. Guess what? The worst is yet to come. And he says to them, do not be alarmed. Do you know we have seen a lot of these things? Some of you say, yeah, well, yes, we're in the end times. That's true. But he says, it's only the beginning. I believe that we are still in the beginning stages. I really believe that. We are still in the beginning stages. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. I cannot tell you. I know a man said 88 reasons why Jesus will come back in 88. Well, I can't do that. It didn't happen. We're still here. I can't do that. But I can tell you this with certainty. Jesus is not coming back tomorrow. And he's not coming back today. We have this saying that we say, he could come back tomorrow, but he ain't. Because we are in the beginning of birth pains. There is some things that has not happened yet that Jesus said will take place before he come back. So stop speaking lies. Jesus is not going to come back tomorrow unless you can show me that all that he said will take place has taken place. All right. I got to calm down. Nations will rise up against nation, kingdoms against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and that's already happening, but that's just the beginning. Third, don't quit. Don't quit. Too many believers, or say they're a believer, and they quit. And we haven't even seen much yet, and some of us quitting. Tocoa Falls, I can't remember what year it was. I wasn't there yet. They lived in a valley. And praise God, it was, the students were gone, a few were left behind, not many. And the dam on the hill broke. And a lot of lives were lost. And some of the survivors quit. They quit because they think, how can God do such a thing? This is a Christian school. How can God do such a thing? I remember when I read that, I said, how can they lose faith? And guess what? It's only the beginning. Do you know in school, some people go to college and the first year they're gone. They quit. Why? And guess what? It's only the beginning. All right. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9, he says, and they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I don't think we're there yet. I think it has gotten worse, but I don't think we are there yet. All nations are not hating Christians as we think yet. Now, we do see that there is hate in every nation for Christians, but there is coming a time when it's going to be worse. Okay. And listen to this. And many will fall away. Who is falling away? Non-believers? Who is falling away? People who don't know. It's people who say, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to get to the place where they are so hated, they fall away, they can't take it. Listen to this. They will betray one another and hate one another. And that's not just people outside. That's people inside, people who sit next to you in church and rub shoulders. Husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, they're going to be a difference. They're going to be a hate for one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. Folks, and that's just the beginning. When I first got saved, I remember it like yesterday. I first got saved. I couldn't read very well, but I took the word of God and I would go off into the woods and I would read. And I remember reading Revelation. And after I finished with reading Revelation, I said, God, if I'm around for this time, take me before it begins. I remember praying that prayer because I was convinced that a believer was going to go through it, and I didn't want to be a part of it. But it says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Some of us, we are just going through the beginning, and we're already quitting. And we haven't even seen the tough part yet. What if the mother of the child quit when she only having 2 centimeters and a little bit of pain? What if she quit then? She and the baby both dies. Y'all realize that? Some of us quit so easily our belief in God for just minor things right now. When I say minor, friends pick on me. They pick on me because I'm a Christian. They pick on me because I have standards. They pick on me because whatever. And we quit because we want what? We want to be not picked on. We want to have the life easy. Well, I have something to tell you. For the believer, life is not easy. I used to tell folks, I said, I pray for the next generation. I pray for my daughter and her children, because who knows, they may be the one going through the roughest part of what's going to happen in the end. We right now are just experiencing birth pain. I can't tell you which part of the labor process we're in right now. I couldn't tell you that. Because I don't have full understanding. And God did not give me full understanding on where in the birth we are right now. But I know something. We are not close to the end. As many people would believe it, it's about to get worse. Well, when I went to Six Flags, I wasn't really planning to ride. So I went on one of the rides. Finally, I said, look, I'll go on the ride. I can't pay $51.99 and not ride a ride. Because even though you're going to watch the kids, you still have to pay that money to get in. They don't give you a band that says chaperone. You know what I mean? So I get on this thing, and the girl behind me, she says, I don't like this sound. And I said, neither do I. It's that song that goes click, 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 click while you're climbing up. And then guess what they do? When they get, now I was the, like, there was one person in front of me and then me. And then when they get to the stop, they stopped. And you can't even see the tracks. All you're seeing is sky. At that point, with all the clicks, I thought the worst were over. But when they hit that thing and it started to go down, I thought, Jesus, help me. And his mercy kept me. You see, folks, we in a time, we may be right there on the top
of the end times. And it's about to let loose, but you need to cry, Jesus, help me. And his mercy is going to keep you.
You know what? I do not want to go through the end times.
I don't.
But if God chooses, I know that he's able to keep me.
We learn that we should not be led astray. Don't be led astray. Don't be alarmed with all the shootings that happens in schools and people die and kids die. We get alarmed and we wonder where God is. Guess what? We are in the birth pains. Because it had a time it wasn't like that. Do you all know that? It had a time people didn't just go into schools and shoot up. Do you know that? There was a time that did not happen. It had a time that you wasn't really worried about terrorists. It had a time you could have walked into the airport and walked with your loved one all the way and watched the plane take off with them. It had a time. But now the birth pains are increasing. Don't quit. Don't quit. We are not even in the time of where the doctor is saying push. We're not even there yet. And some of us quitting. Some of us giving up what we believe in. Giving up what you have been taught. Giving up because it's hard. Because I am being made fun of. Because I didn't make enough money. Because here. We're not even in the end yet. And some of you are quitting. Stop it. Know your God. Last point. I didn't even know it was going to preach this well. Amen. Do not stop sharing the gospel. Don't worry. The end is coming. Do not stop. It says 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Do you know we still have unreached people who have never heard the message? Do you know that? That's why I prefer when I support a missionary, this is my preference. I prefer to support a missionary going to an unreached group. In fact, we do support one missionary that's going to an unreached group, and sometimes it takes them so long to get there because they have to go to college, then go to training here for 2 years, then they have to raise their funds for another 2 years, then they have to go to close to where they're going to learn a language that hopefully that's what the people are going to be speaking closer. Then they have to go there. Then they have to try to figure out the language. Then they have to gain the people's trust. They may even lose their life. If you have never watched a good missionary story, you should watch Itau. It's a great missionary story to unreached tribe. The gospel must be preached. But folks, it's talking, we have to take it. Some of us are not called to do that. But as individuals, we are called to share the gospel. The gospel must be shared. Don't stop sharing the gospel. Find a revenue to share the gospel. When last have you shared the gospel? When last have you shared the gospel? Some of you can't even share the gospel because you don't spend time knowing your God, so you don't know what to say. What did Jesus say? I say what my Father is saying. I do what my Father is doing. Some of you don't know because you're not getting into his word, so you can't share the gospel. Sometimes the gospel is just giving somebody a scripture verse.
Because God's word will not return void. Do you know that? His word will never return void. Have you been learning some scripture to give to somebody?
I remember I was at Save-A-Lot and I wasn't liking my job very well. I would get up in the morning, put my foot on the ground, sit on the bed for a few minutes, and say to myself, I don't want to go to work. But because my family have to eat, house need to be paid for, car, your car drive it without insurance, I would get in my car and I would go to work, and it was starting to reflect in my speech and how I was acting. And God spoke to me and he said, didn't I give you that job? I said, yeah. And then he said, that waked me up. And so now I started to thank the Lord. And I would sing and I would sing. And when it come to my mind, I hated my job. I say, Lord, thank you for my job. And now people are listening to me now. I didn't even know people was listening to me. And one day I got a Facebook post from one of my coworkers. She says, I was having a hard time, but I remember some of the things you said. Praise God anyhow. Are you taking opportunity to share the gospel? Sometimes, according to how you live your life, you're sharing the gospel and you don't even know it. Don't stop sharing the gospel. Folks, I wish I could sit here to you and tell you that we are at the stage of his coming where the baby is about to be birthed. But I don't know. But I know this for sure. We are not in that stage. There's still things left to be accomplished through prophecy. But I know this. It's the beginning of the birth pains. And God is warning us, and he's telling us, don't be led astray. Don't be surprised of what is happening. Don't quit. And keep sharing the gospel. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, for your word today. We ask, oh God, that your word will really, really do something in our hearts that will bring about the kind of change that we need so that we would be the kind of people, Lord God, that you call us to be, that we would know that we are in the beginning stages, somewhere in the birth process of the coming back of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we want, oh God, to hold on. We want to cry out for mercy when we need it. We want to cry out for strength when we need it. Father, give us all that we need, that we don't quit, we don't give up. And in spite of all that is going on, that we will take all the opportunities that you give us so that we can share the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And Father, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go and be blessed.